How many of you have been following along in your devotions and reading Genesis and the story of Abraham? Anybody doing that? Good, good. It's good to see your hands. I had no idea. You know, I've actually, when I was in the seminary, took classes that specifically had to do with the life, the covenants that God gave Abraham to follow. And as I've been studying and preparing for this particular series in the book of Genesis, I find myself drawn more and more to the life of Abraham. Because as I read the story of Abraham, I begin to read between the lines, I begin to realize that the story of Abraham is the story of my life. You know? I have two sons. Praise the Lord. I didn't have to wait 25 years for them either. But the story of Abraham is a story of an ordinary man who God called and said, I want to be your friend. And it's the journey of that friendship through its highs and its low points. And it's in that story that we find our own story, our own lives. Today I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 17 if you want to follow along. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a room when someone tells a joke and the only one laughing is you? Have you? When I got to thinking about that, it reminded me of a story one time. Excuse me if I laugh too much, because I have these memories that flood into my mind. I spent most of my high school and college years in the dormitory until my wife rescued me and pulled me away from that lifestyle. And when you live in the dormitory, those of you that have lived in a dorm, you know that there's just always something going on in the dorm. Always. There is never a dull moment. There is never a moment of quiet or silence. Day and night, there is something going on. And certain floors of the dormitory are known as a floor where there's more activity than other floors. In my day, at PUC, second floor Granger was where everything was going on. There was always something, day or night, there was something, some activity going on in second floor. And usually it was mischief. Okay? They were planning something. They were planning to go ring the bell during the night. You know, there's a big bell on the bell tower at the church. And I was a security officer one time, and I heard the bell ringing about 2 in the morning. I thought, what's the bell ringing for? I went down to the bell, and nobody was ringing the bell. The bell was ringing itself. Until I shone the flashlight very carefully, and I saw a fishing line that went all the way from the bell all the way up to the cafeteria. And I followed the line, and I got some guys at the end of the line. There's always something going on in the dormitory. And I remember this particular, it was actually a Saturday night. It was after everybody was supposed to be in bed and being quiet. I was a monitor at the time, and I heard some talking and some laughing down the hall. So I went down the hall with my flashlight, and I opened the door, and I said, hey, guys, you know, it's lights out. You're supposed to be in bed. You're supposed to be sleeping. Well, there was a huddle of guys, and they were telling a story. And this one particular guy had just pulled off a prank. And it was a prank on the principal. He had gone up to the principal's house and he had put some honey on the doorknob of his house. I mean, it's an innocent prank. But he thought it was pretty funny because the principal kept trying to open it and he couldn't turn it and he couldn't figure out what was wrong. And then it took a while. So he stood there to watch to see what had happened. He came back to tell the guys in the dorm. And as he was telling this story, and he was embellishing it, of course, making it big and great and all that kind of stuff, and the guys were all standing around because they, you know, they wanted to hear what was going on. At the end of the punchline, or at the end where he was talking about the dean, we expected a lot of laughter. But guess what? While he was telling the story, the dean had come in and was standing in the doorway very quietly. It was dark, you know. And we all saw the dean, but he didn't. So he was laughing. He thought it was great. Ha ha, he was bending over and he was falling on the bed and he was just roaring with laughter and we're all standing there. What's the matter with you guys? And then he looks up and there's the dean. Have you ever been in a room when someone tells a joke and the only one laughing is you? Worse yet, Are you laughing at something that isn't intended to be a joke? Genesis chapter 17:17. Well, that's what we have here. Here we find Abram. It's actually Avram. Put a V instead of a B. Avram. And Avram is just cracking up. He is on the floor. He is rolling in the dirt. He is holding his sides. He's roaring with laughter. So what's so funny? What's the laughter about? Well, we need to look at it, first of all, from Abraham's perspective. God had appeared again to him and had said, verse 15, God also said to Abram, as for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name is now to be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. And then Abraham, verse 17 says, the Bible says, Abraham fell face down and he was laughing. As he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Well, we need to look at this from Abraham's perspective again. It had been 12 years since Ishmael was born, chapter 16. And 24 years since God had initially called Abraham and said, I will make you a great nation. Okay, now 24 years, some of you aren't even that old. But for those of us that are past that age, significantly past that age, 24 years is a large amount of your life. It is a large portion of your life. Most of us have built a career and gotten an education in those 24 years. We're well on our way to fame and fortune and retirement. 24 years. God and Abraham are wandering around in the bleak desert place, and God keeps coming to Abraham and saying, Abraham, I'm going to make you, I promise you, I'm going to make you a great nation. You are going to have a son. Wow. A lot of water under the bridge in 24 years. Lots of ups and downs and a few wars. A quarter of a century is a pretty big chunk of time. Think about this. What have you been doing the last 24 years? Huh? What's been going on in your life in the last 24 years? Just think about it for a second. What experiences have you changed your life and shaped your life and your view of God? Has your faith grown in the last 24 years? Or has it gone the other direction? For Avram and Sarai, those 24 years were years of ups and downs and beliefs and disbeliefs. And now again, God pops into their life and he repeats his promise of progeny and land. I'm going to make you a great nation, But the older they got, the harder and harder it came to believe that. It's kind of like an old high school friend that calls you every year and says, hey, we need to get together. You have one of those friends? We need to get together. Every year they call you about the same time. We need to get together. We haven't seen each other in such a long time. Next time I'm in town, I'll make sure that we get together and have lunch and chat. This happens every year. And every year you go, yeah, okay. All right. Whatever. And so do you blame Abraham here? Abraham is saying in his head, here we go again. I know exactly what God is going to say. Sure enough, he was right. God once again proclaimed his promise to Abraham, his covenant to Abraham. Except this time. This time, God adds a clause to the original agreement or the original covenant. This time, he's asking Abraham for a sign of his commitment to the covenant, a sign. And the sign is that all the males in the camp have to go visit the doctor for a minor surgical procedure. Just a few minutes in the doctor's office. And now you are part of the great, not just Avram, but the Abraham family. Somebody reminded me as I was sharing this with, actually, I think it was my brother was sharing this sermon, and he said, now's when you need to say, who's laughing now? All right? Who's laughing now? Who's laughing anyway? Genesis chapter 17, verse 23. I like the response that Abraham has to God's covenant. Because it says, when God said that all the males in the camp, from this day on, all the newborns, everyone that is a part of the family of Abraham must be circumcised. Abraham responded immediately. Genesis chapter 70, verse 23 says what? On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in the household and brought them with his money, every male into his household, and circumcised them. On that very day, Abraham didn't stand around and wonder. Abraham didn't stand around and argue. Abraham didn't stand around and second guess God. It says, on that very day, immediately, Abraham obeyed God. Abraham's a new man now. He says, God has actually given him a new name. It's Avraham now. The ha, by the way, H. God just put an H in his name. That's all he did. It's significant. Actually, it has a lot of meaning. It's called a rough breather in the Hebrews. I think that's right, Ramsey. Ha is a rough breather, all right? That's kind of a guttural rough breather type thing. The H actually looks kind of like our H without the top of the H, just the bottom part. Actually has a number assigned to it. And that number is 5. The major organs of the body, in the Jewish mind, of course, eyes, ears, nose, mouth, okay? All those were significant. Because it was through those elements, through those organs of the body, that evil could come or good could come. Very interesting. I don't want to get into it. It's a whole study in itself, but I found it rather interesting that God changed his name and put a ha there, and that ha has significance. Okay? So Abraham's a new man. He's got a new name. God's promised again that he is going to fulfill the covenant. In 1 year, a child would be born. And it's interesting, too. I think we need to look at the names that he gave Abraham and Sarah. The meaning of those names is Avraham, if you want to say it properly, all right, is the father of many. Okay, Sarah, there's the ha again at the end, all right, is the mother of a nation. Okay, and God gives the name of their child that is to be born, Ishak. You want to say it properly. Okay? And that name means what? Laughter. Interesting that God chose that name. And what's interesting too in this passage, you'll notice that just before Abraham responds to God's covenant, verse 22 of chapter 17, it says, when God had finished speaking this covenant with Abraham, God went up from him immediately. He's gone. Doesn't hang around for a long discussion. And another thing that's significant here too is there's something missing here at the end of this particular visit that God makes upon Abraham. It doesn't say, and Abraham believed in God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Isn't that interesting? If you read back over the other accounts that we've talked about and we've studied, it always ended with, and Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Isn't that right? This time, it's not there. It's interesting. It's interesting that this time, Abraham obeys God immediately. out of his love and his belief in God. He's gotten to a different level of his understanding of his relationship with God. He's not just talking about believing. He is doing what he believes. You see? He is following what God has commanded him to do, what God has asked him to do. I think at this point it's really God's turn to laugh. I think sometimes we miss the fact that God has a sense of humor. I believe that one of the aspects of the human nature or the human body and the psyche and the makeup of our minds is that we appreciate laughter. Laughter, they say, is good medicine. It's the best medicine. If you don't laugh enough, then you're living a pretty dismal life, pretty sad life, pretty dark life. You need some laughter in your life. And I don't mean silly laughter. I mean laughter that just comes from the depths and it's joy and it's happiness and you're just overwhelmed with it. Now, there's nothing better than a good laugh, don't you think? Don't you always feel better when you're done laughing? I think God laughs. I believe God laughs. I believe that God has an incredible sense of humor. You don't believe me? Go to the zoo and watch monkeys for a while. If you can go and watch monkeys and you don't laugh, then I have a name of someone that starts with doctor that you need to go see. All right? There's nothing more hilarious than watching a bunch of monkeys. They are so funny and so silly, and they look kind of like us a little bit sometimes. Some of us, I mean, you've got to be careful about that one, okay? But they look kind of humanoid in a way, with a tail, some of them. And they're funny. They remind us of ourselves in ways. Yeah? Okay? I'm not trying to support Darwin here. Please don't go there with me. I'm just saying that God created monkeys, and they are absolutely hilarious. Okay? And what? When was the last time you saw an aardvark? Or a platypus. Huh? You ever seen an aardvark? What happened there? Bill Cosby says, when God was done creating, he had some leftover parts and he threw them all together and there's an aardvark. You know? I mean, come on, these guys don't make a whole lot of sense. The platypus is the strangest animal you've ever seen. It's got a bill like a duck. It looks kind of like it looks like a rat, really. No, it looks like a beaver, kind of like a beaver in a way, the fur, the coat. But it has this duck bill. It's the weirdest thing you've ever seen. And giraffe. Why the long neck? What's that about? Huh? I mean, the creation is incredible. And I think God, when he created humans, he had a sense of humor too. Huh? I think so. He planted that in us. We need to learn to laugh. Laughter is good for us. We can't always go around with long faces. Christians ought to be happy people. Because we have everything. We have eternity. We have God. We have salvation. Our load should be light because we know that we're soon to leave this old earth and go back to heaven where God is. That ought to make us happy. But oh no, we get down in the mud and the muck of life, you know, and we get all drawn into that and all psyched out by the world around us. And we start groveling and crawling into church and groaning and moaning in church. Come on, give me a break. Church ought to be a happy time. We're in the presence of God. Abraham was in the presence of God and he was falling on the ground laughing, laughing and laughing. He had laughed in the presence of God. But he was the only one laughing because God had a serious thing to lay on him. Actually, God had the last laugh. I believe that God laughs for joy because the promised son, Isaac, was about to be born. I believe that God laughed because the plan that he had set in place was now moving forward. I believe that God laughed in relief. You ever laughed in relief? Whew. You know, I mean, you're so glad that it's over that you laugh in response. God laughed in relief because Abraham finally gets it. He finally understands that God is not only his shield, but God is his very, very great reward. God finally got through to Abraham. And Abraham realizes that if he's going to have a child, it's only going to be by an incredible miracle of God. Oh, he still reminds God, by the way, if you read chapter 17. He still says to God, but God, why don't you just go ahead and bless Ishmael? He's still trying to get a blessing for Ishmael. And you know what God says? Oh, you got a blessing, don't worry. I'm going to bless Ishmael. He's going to be a father of a great nation. I will bless him, but Abraham, he's not the one that I promised. The one that I promised is on his way, and one year from now, he's going to be born. And his name's going to be Laughter. God got the last laugh. He got the name Isaac. You know, God could have named Isaac any other name. I mean, there's hundreds, thousands of names. But he said, you know what? I'm going to get you back, Abraham, for laughing. I am going to call your son, I'm going to name your son Laughter. God's laughed here, laughing in relief also because God's laughing because Abraham finally understands how important the relationship is between him and God. Verse 23, I want to go back to that again. On that very day, Abraham took his son. On that very day, the key in our relationship with God is that when God calls us, we answer immediately. We don't wait and say, well, another day, maybe some other day, maybe in the future, maybe when I have this or when I have that, maybe when I've accomplished this, then I'll respond to God's call. God called and God gave Abraham a blessing. Abraham did it immediately. On that very day, Abraham obeyed God. So when all the laughter dies and we get serious about God's call, when we finally realize that earthly friends will always fail us, but God never fails, maybe then we will be willing to listen to the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. By the way, El Shaddai is God comes to Abraham here in this passage of Scripture, and he changes his name. He calls himself El Shaddai. Whole nother sermon. You need to look into what that word means. By the way, it's in the feminine gender here too. The all-sufficient one, the one that comes and loves us and cradles us and coddles us and rocks us when we need to be rocked and kisses us on the face when we need to be kissed and hugs us and loves us. It kind of sounds like our mother, doesn't it? I like that. The El Shaddai. El Shaddai God came to Abraham. That same El Shaddai God that appeared to Abraham on that day in Genesis chapter 17 is the same God that wants to come in covenant with you and with me. He wants to bless our lives. He wants to whisper promises in our ears, promises that He will keep. He will never fail us. He will never forsake us. He will always be the one who comes to our rescue, who cares for us, who loves us, who cradles us if necessary in the hard times of our lives. This is probably my favorite chapter in Genesis, because it shows that in this journey that lasted, at least up to this point, about 24 years, it shows that Abraham has grown. It finally shows that there's been some progress. That Abraham not only spoke with his mouth and said, "I believe," but he also showed in his actions that he believed and loved God in return. That he was a friend of God's. Does that mean that Abraham's not going to blow it? Oh no. We'll read more as we go on here in Genesis about Abraham's life. But I believe in chapter 17 we see a turning point. We see a turning point in the life of Abraham, in his understanding of what it is that God wants to establish with him. God wants Abraham to be his close friend. He wants Abraham to trust him. To not just say, "Yes, I believe, but to trust him and to be willing to wait. Life is often a place where we wait, isn't it? Wait and wait and wait. And oh, how tired and weary we get of waiting. Just make sure that whatever it is you're waiting for is something that God has blessed. Make sure that it's God's will. Make sure that it's not something that you expect of God, that God does not even have in his will for you in your life. Stay close to God as Abraham did. Worship him. Seek his face. And when he comes and speaks to your heart, respond to that call. Respond to God's words to you. I just love chapter 17, and I'm not going to go on anymore. We're going to share a little more as we study in the coming weeks. But I want you to understand the significance of the change in Abraham's understanding of his relationship with God. I want you to ponder that. I want you to go back and read chapter 16, 17. I want you to meditate on chapter 17. The covenant itself is worthy of 4 or 5 sermons. Just the covenant. When I read it, I'm going, "God, what do I do? There's so much incredible beauty and expression here of God's love for Abraham." So as we study in the future, I want you to remember that now Abram is now Abraham. Sarai is now Sarah. And Isaac is laughter. We serve a God who cares deeply for us. He wants to carry us through the hard times in our lives. He wants to make covenants with us. But let's not forget that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah is a God that also likes to laugh. He has a sense of humor. May God bless us as we continue to worship here in this place. And as we go out from this place into the world around us, may we share the good news that God loves you. He loves you and wants to be your friend. God bless you.